I never really smoked in high school. I don't remember where I was, but we were out in a garage and everybody was smoking. So I got a contact high and they were watching it. But I think I was trying to hook up with somebody. So I wasn't paying full attention to the movie. Couldn't tell you anything about it. So I rewatched
it. I still can't. I saw it last night or two nights ago.
Well, there's nothing to tell.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we're wasting we're wasting all the gold.
Yeah. What's up? This is Movies on Up, here for a good time, not a long time. Always here for a good time is my long time podcast co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
Good time.
It's good time, Dave, over there. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Here for a good time, not for a long time, is our tagline contest for this week. If you know what movie that belongs to, you can send your guests off to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or get at us on the Twitter @moviesonup. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you're going to get some of what everyone wants some of, and that is our Movies on Up prize package. It's also a big fat hint as to what movie that tagline comes from and what this week's episode is about. It is a discussion on Richard Linklater. Yeah, the guy that did Boyhood, did some other movies before that, some of which did not star Ethan Hawke, and this is one of them. It's 1993's Dazed and Confused. His spiritual sequel, as it's been referred to, Everybody Wants Some, hits theaters this week. So for whatever reason, it's a good idea to kind of look back at this movie.
Was it?
Well, it was a good idea in that
on paper
sometimes there's a movie that you haven't seen for a while, you go back and you're like, damn, I forgot how much I like this movie. This was sort of the opposite of that, where the longer it's been since I've seen it, the better I think that it is. I just keep getting older, but this movie just stays the same.
I essentially watched it for the first time. Like, I had seen it, but not in a position where I was paying attention, and you're talking 20 years ago.
We got most of that story in the cold open.
Oh, did we? I didn't know we were recording. If so, great story, Dave. I've seen pieces of it. I have some memories of it. I don't like it. I could say that without the question mark at the end. Like, I don't like it. I don't like this movie.
I don't really care for it either. And I'm not sure if I don't get it.
That's the thing. That's where I'm getting ready to say, is it a bad movie? No, it's well made.
Yes, really well made.
I look at it like, this is going to be a weird comparison. I look at it like Freaks and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks is a perfect example of that time frame of high school. It's not really for me. I enjoy it, but it's not. I don't hold it on the pedestal that everybody else does. For what it sets out to do, I think it does it perfectly. Dazed and Confused, I think, is that same thing. It captures the time. The filter on the camera, the wardrobe, like, you forget when this movie was made. It feels like
1993.
Yeah, it feels like you're watching.
It feels like it came
out
in the
70s. Yeah, he does take you to that moment in time. This wasn't my high school experience.
Or mine.
So maybe I'm so far removed. Like, I wasn't beating up freshmen. I wasn't beat up as a freshman. I didn't smoke or drink a ton. It certainly wasn't the meaning of my life. So maybe it was the wrong crowd that I just wasn't in. It's a very well-made movie. But then I think when I start talking about Dazed and Confused, it's well-made. It's well-written for what it is. It's just not for me because I don't see the point and I don't care about the characters, but I can see why people love it. Replace Dazed and Confused with any Linklater movie, essentially. That pretty much sums up my feelings on him as a director. Like, Boyhood, cool idea. I could see why people like it. I understand the...
Certainly ambitious. It's one of a kind.
It's not for me. The Before Sunrise movies, pointless to me. So there's a lot of that going on with Linklater to me, and this, I think, sums it up better than anything, because I should like this movie.
This one, certainly, it has such a cult following that I think you almost feel guilty for not liking it. But when the movie came out, and it wasn't necessarily like a giant release anyway, but it wasn't exactly what I would call commercially successful It opened in September of 93, September 24th, made $918,000, which put it 14th behind some pretty good movies. The Good Son and The Program in their first weeks, The Fugitive, Striking Distance, and The Age of Innocence. Round out your top five.
I just like that you prefaced that by saying some pretty good movies, and then you let off with The Good Son and The Program and closed with the Bruce Willis boat movie.
I actually think The Program is a good movie. The Good Son's not bad. I'm not saying it's like an all-time classic, but I think they're pretty decent. The Fugitive's good.
Fugitive, yeah.
Yeah, get off my back. It's not like I paid to see Striking Distance. You know what I mean? That's not me. That's
Jessica Parker.
That's just where it was in 1993. That's where we were at as a society. The movie went on to make just a hair under $8 million domestically, which puts it 4,627th all time. Dave, can you guess the pirate movie right above it from 1982?
Ice Pirates.
No.
Oh.
Starring Christy McNichol.
I'm still sticking with
it's
Ice
It's actually
Pirates.
Called The Pirate Movie. Oh. That's what it is. I believe it's some kind of
spoof. I got excited because Ice Pirates is around. I think it might be a little later.
It's not that one, though. But the movie...
I love Ice Pirates so much.
The movie right below it.
I have no memories of that movie other than loving it. Like, ask me anything that happens in Ice Pirates. No idea. Do I love that movie? Without a doubt. I saw it like 3 times in theaters with my dad. I love
this
that
sounds
movie.
Like we're going to have to do an Ice Pirates episode. Maybe
good,
not.
Good
maybe
luck
we should
finding
just,
it.
Maybe we should just watch it first
good
and then decide.
If, there's
yeah.
a thing that runs across the floor. It's like my only memory, but I love
I
that
think
movie.
I recall seeing it as well.
I love that movie. Was it Michael Winslow? Was Michael Winslow in that?
That
keep
I don't
talking.
Know.
I'm gonna
yeah, I will vamp for a little bit. I could ask you to guess the movie right below it. It's a Disney movie from 1982, starring the bag of hot air that is Beau Bridges and John Hurt.
Flubber.
No, it's Night Crossing. It's the movie about a hot air balloon. That was my bag of hot air clue. But there's really no way that you would have... known that 1982 apparently strongly represented in the 4000 era.
Michael D. Roberts, not Winslow.
Okay. But a Michael, nonetheless. It's just interesting to kind of look at movies. I talked about the one right above it was the pirate movie. Right above that, Black Hat, the Thor movie. Above that, Machete Kills and The Great White Hype.
I do love that movie.
I know.
I can not just remember that movie, almost recite it word for word.
But
I love that movie.
That's where it ranks all time on the box office. And probably about 5 or 6 spaces below it is Trumbo, the Bryan Cranston movie from last year.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, yeah, it's what got him an Oscar nom this year. But apparently that did not make a whole lot of money either. I think that this movie is sort of a confluence of events here. You've got a cast that is absolutely chock full of folks that would go on to have ridiculous careers. You've got Academy Award winners in McConaughey and Ben Affleck. Linkletter, who's been nominated 5 times, a lot for writing. Mila Jovovich, Joey Lauren Adams, Parker Posey, Nikki Catt, who've had pretty successful careers. And even freaking Bridget Jones shows up.
Is she?
Yes. Renee Zellweger is uncredited in this movie. She's just like one of the party girls in a pickup truck. But she's in there. Trust me.
Because I went back. I had flashbacks to the, I don't know which one is Joey Lauren Adams and Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
When Joey Lauren Adams first shows up on the screen.
Yeah, that's Joey Lauren Adams. She has the slightly more agitating voice, if I could say that. But don't worry, because you don't see her that much in the movie. If you watch this movie now, with that cast, with a guy that is a very competent filmmaker, I feel like your expectations of it now are much, much higher than they would have been in 1993 when you didn't know who any of these people were.
Yeah. You watch it now and it's like, oh, that's Nikki Catt. Oh, that's everybody that I know is in this movie.
Right.
Except for
why
Ethan
isn't
Hawk.
It? Why isn't it better?
Yeah.
How did Julie Delpy not land? Like, exactly. Yeah. How did she not land a role in this? But usually... I mean, I can't think of any other movie going back where you, like, retrospectively expected more out of just because of all the people involved. I mean, they were all just starting off, essentially. But how did we not get more out of this movie?
I hadn't really seen the movie, but I know Affleck's O'Bannon. I know McConaughey is Waterston or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that it's like, I know the line about the high school girls. So, like, I'm expecting these iconic performances and these iconic moments, and maybe it's just not for me.
Those two scenes, I guess specifically, like I think we all, or at least I think it's sort of permeated the culture, especially with McConaughey. He has a couple scenes in the movie, not a lot, but he has a lot of quotable lines from the movie that still holds up. I mean, obviously the thing about the high schoolers, but when he asks the kid if he's got a joint, he says, no, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
That's McConaughey.
Right, exactly. He seems like he was that character, or very easily could transform. That was perfect casting. I like McConaughey in it. Affleck's a dick, which is great. I think it's actually pretty well acted by some of the supporting people. I don't really care for Jason London all that much.
Outside of Ice Cold, or whatever the Zach Galifianakis movie was, I have no interest in any of the London brothers. Out Cold, not Ice Cold. I was thinking Ice Pirate still.
Cold
Out
as Cold. Ice, whatever.
Out Cold's a competent movie. I love that movie.
This movie, you know, we talked about the acting a little bit, but it is a good movie. It's put together well. What I like is you have all these characters, for the most part, none of which I care about.
Ew.
But I like the way they intermingle and intertwine with each other and basically just get out of different cars. And then that's like... And
that part I did relate to. That part was some of me in high school, where I was driving and I would start off the night with these many people and end the night with these people. Like, that happened because you meet up, hey, we're going here. Oh, I'm going here. All right, who wants to go here? And you just... That part I got to where, like, whoever you leave with, not necessarily who you're ending the night with, I did get a lot of that in high school, but not with all the...
I got a lot of that, too. Like, I would get in the car with people, and they would leave me places, and then...
And you'd end up in the car with your parents.
That would be it, and I'd be like, shit. I like that as sort of a way to advance the story. This little vignette, essentially, is done... because we're now at a different location. It's a perfect exit point for some of the characters. Like, oh, we're going to go off to this other place to go find beer or whatever, and we're going to leave you at the pool hall with Matty McConaughey.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no plot. There's no anything to this movie. It's a vignette of nothingness.
Nothingness is what we get out of it. I do think that there were things that he was trying to say about the movie. And admittedly, I couldn't really fully grasp them until I went and read an article about
Dazed and Confused think piece.
No, it was actually more about Everybody Wants Some and how it relates to this movie. It still doesn't make me like or appreciate the movie more, but I think it's trying to make a couple of statements of what teenagers in the 70s cared about and how they would have been feeling at that very particular point in their lives where you have folks becoming seniors and incoming freshmen kind of at the diametric ends of high school and what it's going to mean or does mean to each of those groups at that time and moving forward. I don't think it resonates with us because when we were at that point, we weren't thinking or caring about the same thing, certainly. I guess maybe literally you just had to be there to understand what these kids would have been going through or would have been thinking. Like I said, Linkletter has kind of said that the movie was about freedom, essentially, and this group of kids trying to cling on to any sort of freedoms that they had or force any kind of freedoms into the situation. Like, they had to be in high school, so they were literally, it was the last day of class, they were just kind of coming and going as they wanted. The whole thing about Pink having to sign this slip that said he wasn't going to drink or smoke pot. No, damn it, that's the man trying to hold me down, and I'm not going to do that. It seems dumb and pointless, and somebody of our generation would have signed the thing
and then just
and probably it. Rolled it up and smoked it. Yeah. Exactly. So it seemed, for like a main source of conflict throughout the movie, it seemed very petty.
The only thing that I liked in it was Pink debating whether he was even going to play next year. Like, he's the quarterback expected to come back and do big things, and he doesn't even know if he wants to be on the team.
Because he can get just as much muff or whatever they say as if he's in a band.
Yeah, and you have Cole Hauser, and dude, you would quit on us. Like, you screw us. I like that aspect of it, but it wasn't really tackled all that much. Like, it was just kind of...
It was like one scene where he was like, you ought to think about other people, I guess.
Yeah, and that was it. That's an interesting, like... Okay, if he quits, what all does he lose? even in the community, like, people know him as the quarterback.
Except I think they're confused because at some point the old people, like, oh, how's that arm ready to throw for 2,500 yards? And they're grabbing his left arm, and then when he drops back on the field at the end, he's throwing with his right.
Maybe
so.
They were dyslexic.
Maybe. I don't know.
But
they're just old.
Like, that was interesting to me, but that was much better tackled in a movie like The Program from 1993.
Like, the aforementioned.
But, like, I like that. That was interesting. That was relatable, but it's such an afterthought. And it was, like, one scene, and that's it. If you replace the entire subplot about that piece of paper with him debating whether he's even going to play next year and what it'll mean to him and his friends if he doesn't, I'm a lot more interested in Pink.
If his identity is tied to him being the high school quarterback, or if he decides, I don't want your life.
Yeah.
To kind of tie it towards the sequel, which is not really a sequel because it doesn't have...
Spiritual companion.
Yeah. It doesn't have any of the same characters. But Linklater said it's basically like what would happen if Mitch, the freshman from this, went to college. It's about the first weekend being at college. Some people have called it a baseball movie, but from what I understand, there's really no more baseball in it than is in Dazed and Confused. You have these high school kids that don't have freedom, and they're basically lashing out at the coach for making them sign a paper. They're lashing out at
the
parents.
Rebelling with, it's a white privilege movie, pretty much. Like, these kids are looking for something to rebel against when they don't have... There's no conflict. There's no conflict
right.
in the movie, but through these kids' eyes... Everything is conflict. The whole world is against them, where nothing is against them. The 15-year-old walks in and buys beer without any second thought. Like, they're all driving all over the... Like, they get away with everything. Mm-hmm. There is zero conflict in
There's
this movie.
There's no repercussions for anything.
But in their eyes, everything is against them. So it is a total white privilege movie because... Damn the man. And the man's just like, you're cool. Like, I don't have a problem with you. And then, damn you. It's, no, we're cool, dude.
They're really trying to get this freedom, which they really, I mean, they have. They can stay out literally the entire night. Nobody gets in trouble. They're just roaming around town all drunk, you know, and high. That's certainly not a thing you should do. But it's this idea that they don't have any freedom. So in theory, when you get to college, then all of a sudden you have that freedom that these kids don't think they had. And basically, what would you do? That kind of first shock to the system of like, oh, shit. My parents aren't around. There's nobody telling me what to do. Like, how do these kids... I'm sure they do the exact same thing they did in high school. They probably get stoned and drink a lot. Linklater also went on to kind of say, apparently this is a spiritual sequel to every movie he's ever made.
I feel like everything he makes is a spiritual sequel to something.
And I've never heard that term before, and I hope I never have to use it again, because I think it sucks so bad. But he was basically saying, well, you know, this is essentially picking up... a character in sort of midstream. What is your college experience like? Well, when we left whatever his name was from Boyhood, it was basically like he just got to college, met his roommate, met this chick that he was really into, and that's where the movie ends. And this is sort of where this movie starts. I don't need to find out what happens to the kid from Boyhood, because I actually like the ending of that movie. I think that's great. The 3.5 hours of him... up to that point, I don't love. I kind of hate. I love Ethan Hawke in the movie. I think he's great. But I don't think we need a spiritual sequel for Boyhood. And I certainly don't think that because you're making a movie, you need to tie them all together. And, oh, well, if you didn't like this one of my movies, this one was really, really good. So you should check out my new one because it has similar themes.
That was a really good Linklater impression.
Actually, that wasn't even an impression. That was just I played audio. That was an actuality, as they call it in the business. Since Dave and I don't necessarily love this movie, I think it's probably been evident at this point that it's not maybe our favorite high school movie.
No.
I decided...
Like, it's weird. I get it if you like it. Like, that's...
Yeah,
I don't think
it's bad.
I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. It's just it's not for me. Like, there are some movies that I think are terrible that I don't understand it. But like this, I can see watching it and... thinking it's a good... I get it, but I don't get the movie. I get thinking it's good, but I don't get it.
But I decided to go old school movies on up, and put together...
Bonus
list for our... And I'm going to say it's our, because I unilaterally made the list. But I think...
First time here.
I'm pretty sure Dave likes some of these. So I went by decade, starting in the 50s, it was an arbitrary decision. Best high school movies depicting each decade. So, like, this was made in the 90s,
but
it's
a 70s movie.
Right.
Okay.
So this movie, spoiler alert, is in the 70s category. My 50s category, I guess in no particular order, although if I had to put them
It's not. It's a list for each decade.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just like, oh, here's this one from the 50s, now 60s. Okay, go on.
No, no, I have.
Proceed.
You may proceed.
Thou shalt pass here. Go ahead.
Okay. My 50s. I've got Dead Poets Society, Rebel Without a Cause, Grease, and Hoosiers. Great sports movie. It's also a kind of a high school movie.
This was Porky's 50s?
Porky's, I think, was the 50s. I guess I could probably squeeze that one. There's a lot of them. That The Last Picture Show is a movie I like a lot. Peter Bogdanovich is not exactly uplifting portrait of a really...
Well, it's the last one.
Yeah. A really run-down, crappy town. But I think it's a great movie. Porky's is probably a little more fun, for sure.
More boobs?
I think so, yeah. I would have to go back and which I'm willing to do. That kind of research I'm willing to do for the show. The 60s, you'd be remiss if you didn't have American Graffiti on there. Like, that to me is like the depiction of the 60s high school. I don't know, because I wasn't there, but I could just watch that movie and feel pretty good about having a handle on what that was. Peggy Sue Got Married, which is kind of a flashback movie. It starts off at a 20-year reunion, and then Kathleen Turner flashes back to her high school.
It's like The Legend of Bagger Vance, or not The Legend of Bagger Vance. Who Shot Victory Valance?
Something like that. And then Coolie High, which is, I think, kind of an afterthought movie, but it's actually really, really good, and it's sort of, I think the guy that was one of the writers for Good Times wrote that movie, and it's not a comedy. It's actually sort of a template for a movie that's going to show up later on our 90s list.
High School High?
No, not High School High. That doesn't actually make the list. The 70s?
Was Hairspray 60s?
I think. I have Grease on there. I have one musical, so just get off my balls about it, all right?
I just had to sit through
That's
a
one
month
more.
Of practices I'm, seeing
yeah,
high
sure
school
did.
Kids sing songs from Hairspray. So.
My 70s list is really short because I really couldn't find that many high school movies set in the 1970s. Meatballs? Meatballs, I think,
was
is
that 70s?
It's more. That's more of a summer camp movie, I think, and I'm not.
Valid,
I just didn't
fair.
Count that as high school, though I think it did take place in the 70s. I have two. Dazed and Confused is sort of the default winner. My second is Carrie, because that was high school in the 70s.
Yeah. Not so, the remake. The original.
No, right, because the remake, I think, took place contemporarily. No. But yes, the original Carrie is from my list for the 70s. I think the 80s is when it gets good.
See, I'm excited for 90s. I'll go toe-to-toe with you tonight.
I can't hardly wait till we get there.
Yeah, that's my number one.
That is the number one. But let's start with the 80s. Watching Dazed and Confused, I don't know why I lumped them both together, but I just kept thinking I'd rather be watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High because I love that movie. They're completely different decades. They're completely different characters, but I love Fast Times. I think it's hilarious. I love the cast. I love the writing. I didn't go to high school in the 80s, so it's not like I relate more to those characters than I did the ones in Dazed and Confused. I just think it's a much better movie.
See, that's another one I don't think I've seen all the way through. Like, I know stuff about. I've seen the Phoebe Cates scene 100 times or so, and I know Judge Reinhold works at, like, a Long John Silver's, but, like, I don't know the beginning, end, and middle of that movie. I don't think I've seen the whole... I know
he
Sean
does get
Penn
caught
orders
jerking
pizza.
Off to, he does.
Sean Penn orders pizza to
he
class.
Does. Yeah, Spicoli.
Spicoli, yeah. That's all I know about that movie.
But a lot like the McConaughey character, you know, Wooderson, you may not know about him or that movie, but you know of Jeff Spicoli because it's such a... It's a character that just kind of transcends. But I do love Fast Times. I think it's kind of the quintessential 80s movie. I think people might argue that maybe The Breakfast Club or any of the John Hughes movies. Yeah, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, sure.
Weird Science.
Yeah, a couple other ones that are not John Hughes movies. Ferris Bueller, I think, is a great, great 80s.
I was
going to
say that, but I didn't know if that would count because
he doesn't take place in high school.
Yeah, like you see the child predator at high school, but not.
Oh, yeah.
Chicka-chicka-ball.
I am all over it today. And my number five, Say Anything.
Yeah.
This is a really strong five. I think those five are probably, I like them better than any of the other movies from any of the other decades. The 90s, aforementioned Can't Hardly Wait, to me, when I see that movie, it's a perfect snapshot of time right there.
I graduated in 1998. So like that movie, that is my graduation movie. Like that's it for me. Like Can't Hardly Wait is my high school movie.
But there were also a lot of other good ones.
There was
ones.
A ton of high school movies in the 90s.
Boys in the Hood?
Boys in the Hood was
high school movie, but yeah. It's not. We would think of it for gang movies, but yeah. It's a high school movie. Clueless, I think, is really good as well. It's kind of maybe the opposite end of the spectrum from Boys in the Hood. Election, sneaky, sneaky good.
Yeah, it's very good. Very, very good.
And maybe it's just me, but I love 10 Things I Hate About You. So that, for me, had to go on there.
I don't know that one. Like, I'm familiar with it, but I don't know. I've never seen it.
I love Joey Gordon-Levitt.
I know Heath Ledger sings.
Yes, Heath Ledger sings. Sings and dances.
Julia Stiles,
he does, yeah.
Yeah.
And the entire women's soccer team.
Yeah. But then the 90s, I mean, late 90s, early 00s. You had a ton of high school movies.
There were a ton. And
you know what? American Pie, you didn't even mention. That was 98?
It was 99, and I put it on the 2000s list.
So you cheated.
Sort of, yeah. So I cheated. Here was my rationing behind it. American Pie was a movie I saw as a freshman. That was kind of like my high school experience, and I graduated in '02. So I was like, yeah.
It was right on the cusp.
Right, it was.
So in aughts, I would say American Pie's on there because you cheated. Yes. Mean Girls has to be there. Yeah. That Ben Foster, James Franco movie, that might be two different movies.
No.
One of them had Sisko in it.
It's not in there. Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Solid high school movie.
Now, is this just 2000s or is this 2000 to 2010?
Well, it's really 2000s on.
Okay.
Because I have Dope on there, which just came out.
I love Dope. Yeah. Dope is, I wish I'd have watched it before the end of last year because it would have been very, very high up my favorite movies of last year. Dope is so good. And I've been reaching for an excuse to do an episode on Dope because I love the movie that much.
It's a great movie.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Dope, watch Dope. I absolutely adored that movie.
But perhaps my number one high school movie from the 2000s,
Kick-Ass,
has not come up, and I think it might be a movie you love more than Dope.
Kick-Ass?
No, it's Superbad.
I do like Superbad. Superbad's perfect.
Yeah.
Superbad is the quintessential male friendship movie to me. Mm-hmm. Like, and my writing partner, Tony, when we write stuff, we look for a Superbad relationship. It doesn't have to be between two dudes, but like we need a friendship that feels as strong as Superbad does, because Evan and Seth, you feel that friendship in that movie. So, and that's something when you're writing a role of friends in movies, I think Superbad is the template because look at what they did well and do that. You didn't mention Easy A.
I didn't mention Easy A because I went Mean Girls instead.
Different movies.
Yeah, different movies, but it was very hard to cut movies.
You also didn't mention the Carrie remake.
No, I didn't. I cut Brick off the 2000s, and I love that movie. F you.
Shannon Sossaman named her son Audio Science.
Man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
F Brick. F Brick, right.
In the A.
Yeah.
I left off a lot of Shannon Sossaman movies from the 90s, for sure. So that's what you get for naming your kid something dumb. But the
80s... What's this episode about?
It's about Dazed and Confused, okay. Which you're a little confused as to...
One.
Yeah.
We're still doing that one.
But my point was, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, there's a lot of great high school movies about those decades. There aren't any about the 70s. Was everyone too high to remember what the 70s were like?
There might be. We just...
I looked... And couldn't find them. The only two I could find were Carrie and the one we're doing this episode about.
You
so
know,
it's
one
by
that,
default the best.
The one you didn't mention, I don't know if it's 70s or 80s.
It's probably 80s.
3 O'Clock High.
I think that is 80s. And I love 3 O'Clock High.
That one just comes to mind.
Right.
Because
that's
didn't
the
get
80s.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was made in the 80s too.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not a genre that you really see a ton of anymore. Like what we had. Project X, maybe? Would that be considered a high school movie? Superbad, Easy A, Chronicle. That Charlie Bartlett, the Anton Yelchin movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, in late 99s, early aughts, you had that.
Oh, there's a ton, yeah.
That Sisko movie, that Ben Foster movie, that James Franco movie, if they're three separate movies. Usher was in Faculty.
Yeah. Like, that's a really solid one.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That Julie Styles. Telling of Othello. Yeah. Yeah.
There's probably some Rachel Lee Cook movies that I didn't put
on
there.
She Can't Hardly Win. Or She's All That. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, She's All That. That's like...
Some Freddie Prinze Jr. movies. In addition to that, the one where he was in it with Julia Stiles, it was like that cooking show or something that he was doing. That's a movie.
But She's All That, I'm surprised we didn't mention that. Because that's... I was in high school when that movie came out. And that part was like a year ago talking to a high school kid. And she said something about some kid liking her and... She was afraid he was going to ask her to prom or mm-hmm. something, and she didn't want to hurt. I'm like, just say yes, and just She's All That him. And she didn't get it at all. So then I got to explain the
full
plot.
Full on Lainey Boggs.
I got to explain the plot of She's All That to this like 18-year-old girl, and it was just an amazing moment in my life because I do like that movie. I like talking about that movie more than I like watching it because I just watched it recently. I watched it recently. Not as good as I remember, but it's got a special place in my heart.
The movie's All That.
It was. She's All That. Was All That.
I haven't seen it recently.
She looks pretty much exactly the same, but older.
Huh.
Like Dominique Moschiano, where like her head seemed
Pajamas
to get
girl?
Bigger. Yeah. Like she's still pretty and still cute, but it seems like her head got bigger and everything else stayed the same.
She's like another one just like trapped in that very, mm-hmm. that very small window that was her
It'll
relevance.
Be Selena Gomez when she's 40. She's still going to look like she's like 19, but you'll know she's 40.
But she like belongs to a very specific point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Like Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
She belongs to the 80s. I'm sure that we've completely gone off the rails here. But what I wanted to do was take a movie that we didn't like and didn't have an awful
and
lot to
out
say
how
about.
To talk about it.
Yes. Well, no. But what I wanted to do was... had this episode with content that people might actually like. Maybe you love Dazed and Confused and you're a little bit mad that we gave it the short shrift, and I apologize, she does look exactly the same. That is uncanny, eerie, and totally awesome. I need to see if she's in any new movies.
She's married to somebody, I forget.
I'm sure she is. Mr. Lee Cook.
Luciano.
So hopefully we've succeeded in somehow entertaining you. We're a little... confused as to what we're going to be doing next week and how to wrap this episode, but it's always good to just be like, let's turn the page with this, get out of this unscathed. Next week is our favorite Charlize Theron movies, which
her mother killed her father.
Yeah, we will learn that next week.
Get to the bottom of that mystery.
Yeah,
next
Dave
week.
Will explain the harrowing story behind that night and what our favorite movies starring her are. After that, a couple big time episodes. Our summer preview episode will be following. Right on the heels of Charlize Theron. We'll mix in a Captain America Winter Soldier discussion before hitting our fourth year. After listening to this episode, you might be surprised that we've been doing this for 4 years or that it continues to go on after 4 years. But
I feel like we started this episode four years ago.
Yeah. The second week of May will actually be our four-year anniversary episode. So we've got all sorts of fun and exciting things planned for that episode. So stick around. We've got some much better episodes than this coming up. So
this was fun. More fun than I had watching the movie.
More fun than it had any right to be. So until next week.
Keep it up.